Well, Tulare Lake was probably the largest vernal pool in the world, in that rivers flowed into it during the spring and summer, and then their flow would diminish considerably, and they would have this tremendous rate of pan evaporation because it was so hot and there was no rain coming in. So it was an unusual environment in that there was water there in the midst of this desert. Because the water was there, there was a thick band of tules, some claim as much as a mile wide, all around the lake. And the lake itself could in wet years be 100 miles long and 40 miles wide, the largest body of fresh water west of the Great Lakes. It was a shallow lake, no deeper than about 40 feet, so that the water would warm up. And of course, that warm water is a perfect ecosystem for the burnishing and churning of life. The fishery was supposedly phenomenal. For years and years, that was where they got the turtles for terrapin soup. And the native cultures, of course, found it abundant. They had everything they wanted. They had the tule, they had the food. Early explorers talk about going in there and seeing whole clutches of 30 to 40 grizzly bears. Grizzlies were a lowland animal, not a mountain animal. And they tended to live around waterways. And fish were absolutely vital to their diets. And this is a place where they could go. But you also had the ruminants, you had the pronghorn, you had the elk. There were simply uncountable waterfowl there. And later commercial hunters, white hunters, went in there with 10-gauge shotguns, and they used to claim all they had to do was point the gun above their head and pull the trigger. Didn't have to aim. The sound of it, according to some of the early settlers, was absolutely deafening. When all the waterfowl were on the lake in the spring and the summer in particular, it was just unlike anything anyone had ever heard before. It was really just sort of a big puddle of life, and everything around it depended upon that puddle of life, whether it would be human beings or cattle or pronghorn. So it was quite a remarkable place until they began diverting the inflow into Tulare Lake and into the marshes and swamps that go all the way down to Kern Lake and Buena Vista Lake up against the Tehachapi Mountains. And when they began to dam the feeder streams and that puddle began to shrink, it changed the whole nature of the region. You know, when I-5 was built, one of the arguments was that it was going to really stimulate all kinds of growth in the area. And of course, it has suddenly begun to do that up towards the center of the state. But I was always struck because it opened up what was, for most of us, the most mysterious, the most remote area of the valley. It's the area where Joaquin Murrieta used to hide when they were after him. And I was struck because having been raised in Kern County, surrounded by agriculture, I had never seen what the valley looked like before agriculture. And when that west side opened up, completely opened, you know, all of a sudden you realize you had hundreds of miles of desert. It suddenly made me realize where I had been raised all these years. It never dawned on me that we were in a desert because of the way transported water has altered it. And I think a lot of people began to see California in a different light because they could look to their right and they could see agribusiness, and they looked at their left, and they could see petroleum, and then all of a sudden, they looked to their right, and they begin to see nothing, and they looked to their left, and they would see nothing. But they were seeing a California that had been lost to history in many ways because of the way I-5 was developed. And this, is why a lot of people didn't like it, because that wasn't the California of their dreams. They wanted beaches, and they wanted Yosemite. And the real California is this remarkable arid state that, with all these extraordinary riches and all these paradoxes, like Tulare Lake, the huge lake in the midst of a desert.